This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people.
So, welcome. It's a Wednesday, and it's now time for the lunchtime social debate, and it's something that I've looked forward to on the calendar for the last couple of months, because a gentleman I used to go to school with, his name's Darren Cook. Good afternoon.
Hi, Ian. Good to be here.
He's now like the kingpin of Island Harbour.
I wouldn't say kingpin, but
well, yeah. You're the main man, aren't you?
I wish I owned it, but just the manager.
And we always said that we would do some kind of lunch, some social debate, talk about the future and talk about the past as well. And we've got the past with us too. We've got Mark Redette. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, Ian.
It's nice to see you, because, I mean, when I first started working, I worked along here at the quay for a boat building company that was part owned by or there was connections with your dad. Mm-hmm. And Geon Buildings.
That's right, yeah.
And there is a connection there obviously with Island Harbour, because on Island Harbour there is a Geon building, isn't there?
Yeah.
Which was built, what year was that built?
Must have been 70s.
I would say it's later than that. I thought it was about 84.
Well, could 80s, have been, yeah. 70s, 80s. Time what? Flies.
I know I used to work along it. It was 1982.
Yeah.
Because in 1982, there was another one of those buildings built at the Country Garden Hotel.
That's right, yeah. And there was also one built in Yarmouth, near the boatyard down there.
Oh, right. I didn't know about that one.
Yeah, in the woods. Looked like a flying saucer had landed in the woods when at night when the lights were on. Yeah,
that's
one down there as well.
And we're going to touch on some memories. So obviously, things have changed massively, and we're going to get the lowdown on that from Darren and Amo. Someone said to me today, I went down there the other day and expected to see like a bomb site, and it was like, wow, where did this all crop up from? So things have changed dramatically down there.
Well, yes, the marina was sold in 2013, and since then there's been a lot of changes. The restaurant has been dramatically increased in size, completely refurbished. We've got a really good children's play area out the back now, with an AstroTurf, so it's all very safe, and plenty for the kids to play on. As well as that, we've got apartments being built, which is going really well at the moment. And just no end of plans for the future.
How many apartments you got down there?
At the moment, I think we're working on the first 65. There are just over 100 planned all in all. We've got 25 completed, and then another 40 well underway, and then some more that will be done in the future.
Now, I know Mark's listening with interest there, because you used to live down there with your dad. Your house was down the end of the lane, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah. It used to be called East Medina House. It's now called Tide Mill.
Tide Mill House.
Tide Mill House, yeah. Obviously, I grew up down there. Remember when the Medway Queen came in, the Ride Queen, and when the marina was built. Of course, the Medway Queen was a famous ship. She saved 7,000 people at Dunkirk. And the Ride Queen came later, but everybody looks back with such fond memories. They used to cater for 1,000 people on a Friday and Saturday night down there, as you know, Ian, you were down there enough, and it was just brilliant. Everybody's got so many fond memories. People come up to me now, and we often talk about it, and I try to explain to the kids, how good the nightclub scene was on the island in those days. Mm. There was 40 odd nightclubs. And now there's nothing really, is there?
Well, do you know what? It's really strange, because I walked by, there's a new nightclub we're going to be opening in Newport, and I was talking to the wife yesterday, trying to explain to her, because she's not from around here, that there was 40-odd nightclubs, like you say, and they've all died a death, unfortunately, and why the hell would you want to open up another one and have that problem? But, the nightclub scene was I think it was probably better than anywhere else. People used to come far and wide to experience the nightclubs, and, like you say, what other place would have a nightclub upstairs, downstairs, and a restaurant down the back, and cater for around 1,000 people? It was incredible. I was actually there working as a DJ in there from 1984-ish to, I was the last one in there, New Year's Eve 1989, and it was, by then it was in a dreadful state. When you go by and see it now, you think, how sad. You still got the memories, but how sad it is that it's in that state. Now, what's the, because the rumours, clear up the rumours, someone said that there there was somebody, might have been your group, trying to work out how they can remedy it and fix it and put it back to where it was, you know, where it should be.
Well, we did try, but I'm afraid it hasn't really been that successful. The owners, as I say, they only own the marina for three or four years now, but you know, one of the first things they wanted to do was to look into trying to save her and bring her back to her former glory. They did bring in some consultants to have a look at her and draw up plans. There were a number of proposals they made. I think the most feasible one was that she would be laid on a fixed concrete base as a fixed exhibit, but still be looking as she should and open as a museum and a restaurant, a wedding venue perhaps, or something like that. But even that was forecast to cost over £5 million.
Wow.
Yeah. So it really needed a lottery grant. And when the consultants looked into the possibility of getting a grant, it quickly became apparent that it almost certainly wouldn't happen, because so much of her now would need to be replaced. She'd effectively be a replica and not the real thing. And they don't give grants for replicas. So unfortunately, that really put the death knell on the Ride Queen.
So what happens now then? Because you've got this great big thing that's just in the mud down there now. Is it something you leave there, or is it something you're going to remove? Or?
Well, we will be removing it at some stage. It'd be a really sad day when it happens.
Yeah, it will.
I'd really, really like it to be saved if possible, but we know it's just not feasible any longer. But no plans have been drawn up for definite yet. But the local council, I think, are quite keen for the ride to be removed. And so I would guess within the next 12 months something will happen.
Oh, crikey. Mm. That is going to be a sad day. Unless you've got, Mark, you've got £5 million quid, haven't you?
No.
Have you been down there lately?
Yeah. My boat's been down there for a while, and I was down there for 3 months with a boat recently. So I look over and I just think of so many good times. It was the only place really that I've ever known that catered from everybody from 18 and possibly younger at times to 75.
Yeah.
You had the downstairs bar for the kids, for the youngsters. You had the middle-aged bar in the middle for sort of our age, and then you had the piano bar at the top where you could look through the funnel. And for the 70s, 60s and 70s. And everybody mixed together and got on really well. And you remember that, Ian, no doubt.
Oh, I've got some great stories. I mean, there were so many people that used to go down that you'd remember now, that used to work there, used to do the door. And, you know, there's a guy called Big Ginge Knight. Everyone knew Ginge. And there was...
I still see Ginge, you know, quite a bit. He's still working. Yeah, MG Slabs, I believe.
That's right. Yeah. Anne's Like Shovels.
Yeah.
And I think Rob Wells was down there DJing for a while, and then he was a doorman down there. And I say, I worked upstairs, downstairs. There was a lady that I remember, Sally. Do you remember Sally with the nails?
Yeah.
And I also remember seeing her one night. Somebody had wound her up, and she'd broke a nail. And she went the other side of the bar and clocked him. You didn't mess with people like Big Ginge and Sally, I tell you. Wow. She should have worked the door, to be honest.
And, of course, the taxis wouldn't go down the road, because the road was so muddy at the time, not like it is now. And they used to drop you at the end of the road, and all the women used to end up, and the blokes all ended up with mud all up their legs. No one would ever do it now, but everybody was filthy by the time they got down there.
Do you know what,
it's just great days.
The sad thing is, in about 1988, 89 time, I think it was a guy called Keith Webb that used to have it.
That's it.
And they came in and put the lane, they tarmac the lane.
Mm.
And we all thought, oh, because working down, and we thought, oh, the club's going to be saved, you know. Mm. And the first thing they did was, sadly, close the club, and because the interest was elsewhere. But obviously it's grown since then. I mean, how many houses? You've got houses down there as well, haven't you?
Yeah, there's altogether about... 100 properties, effectively, as 96 apartments have already built a few years ago. There's three or four permanent residences down there. So it's a growing community, really, particularly when the new apartments are all finished as well. There'll be upwards of 200 properties down there.
Wow. I mean, you just think about that. I mean, since you were a lad and going down there and seeing all the, you must have seen some huge changes.
Well, the thing was, in my father's day, you couldn't get planning permission down there. The Medina Valley was sacred. you couldn't get planning permission for anything in the Medina Valley, and now you've got, obviously got the massive Vesta building. And Island Harbour, the big development. I think there's one going to go on up near the Folly shortly, on the old Saro Products site.
Right.
But in the past, you just couldn't. Dad tried loads of times to get planning and just couldn't get it. It was sacred. And things, you know, times have changed, which is good, you know.
You mentioned your dad there. He always seemed to be sort of a really kind of colourful character.
Mm.
I always remember seeing him in some kind of pyjama outfit.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Well, he owned 3 paddle steamers at one time. He had the Ryde Queen, the Benbury Queen, and the Kingsway Castle. I don't think anybody's ever owned 3 paddle steamers before. I don't know, he must have had a thing about them. I remember he bought the Medway Queen because there was a big campaign from the Daily Express to save her, and I think Dad finalised the deal on the public phone in the Crab Inn in Shanklin, because, you know, before mobile phone days. And when Dad bought the Ryde Queen, I went over with him, and it was in Portsmouth. I remember going in the office, I was only, you know, young. And going in there, she was moored out in the harbour there at Portsmouth on the pontoons out there. And he paid $10,000 cash, the $10,000 cheque over to SeaLink. And that's when it all started, really. And I remember that day, yeah, just in Portsmouth Harbour.
How sad are you when that thing comes out of the water and disappears forever?
Yeah, I mean, it's never been the same since the fire. I mean, I remember the fire. The night of the fire, it looked like the boat was the ride was off because there was smoke coming out the funnel. She was glowing red hot at the time, and it's never really been the same since. I think, you know, drink driving laws and everything really, you know, put pay to it as well. It's out the way, isn't it? But you know, people look back with such fond memories. I remember, you know, in the fog down there, people driving into the marina. You know, after they did. Several people drove into the marina. Just nobody drowned, but God knows how. And in the end, they had to put a load of flower beds along the edge to stop people doing it. And yeah, just incredible, really. Yeah.
I remember there was a guy called Joe that used to work the door.
Yeah, Joe. I still see him about. He's around Newport.
And he used to say, because his son used to go down. Isn't it Sean? And I said to him, what happens when your dad loses his rag then? And he said, what he does, he goes and opens a fire exit. And I said, right, okay. I said, what's the big deal about that? He said, it's on the other side. That side, he opens it up. And I said, what do you mean he opens that up? He said, well, because then he said people will know that, because he's apparently dangled a few people out there before. So they knew he was annoyed.
Yeah.
Not the crossing.
There was never really a lot of trouble down there, to be honest. I mean, but you always knew when the Ryde Queen was floating, because she listed one way when she floated, and when she was sat on the mud, she listed the other way, so you could always tell. And it was always great fun to throw burger buns at the rats in the engine room down at the bottom. You could see them running around. It's part of the night out, really.
we'll come back to the nights out and so on in a wee while. Just while I remember, because people, one of the most questions you're asked, I'm guessing you may have been asked as well, is when people drive by and they look at that house with the HP on, what is, because people say, what does it stand for then? What's the HP for then? Does anyone know?
Well, I know it's
Darren knows this.
I don't know his name, but it's the initials of the builder of the house.
Right.
I have heard his name, but I'm afraid I've forgotten it again. But yeah, he decided that he wanted his initials in the house.
And that's it. It's not HP Source. It's not the H, because I guess people who say it's HP Source house, that is.
Yeah.
Or Hewlett Packard. Or
yeah, I'm afraid I don't remember now. But it's certainly a good landmark whenever we're sort of describing 21 where we are.
Yeah.
It's usually how we just turn down the lane by the HP house.
I always thought it was something to do with like Hampshire Police. And I think you told me, Darren, it was named after the builder.
Yeah. It wouldn't take me long to find the name, but I don't remember it offhand.
Okay, well, next time we come in, we'll have some answers for people. I think, yeah, I've kind of heard that story before, but I've never actually worked out what the, you know, who he was or the initials. So, obviously, it's HP, but I mean, but we'll find out. You'll find out for us?
I will do, definitely,
okay,
for sure.
Because there's
sure
so
I've got it written down.
You must get that asked all the time.
Yeah.
What does
yeah.
HP mean? okay, so you got the Breeze restaurant down there. Can you? It's lunchtime. What can you recommend on the menu?
Lamb shanks always a favourite.
Right.
Our most popular meal is actually just fish and chips. We do really good cotton chips, and the chips we do are all homemade, triple cooked chips. So you know, we always try whatever we serve, it's fresh and cooked to order. Personally, there's a salmon dish with prawns, which is just out of this world as far as I'm concerned.
Right, okay. He sold me on all of those, actually. Fish and chips, yeah, one night, and lamb shanks as well. I like the idea of that. So it's open most of the time?
Oh, yeah, open fully from 9 o'clock in the morning through to 11 or later, depending on whether a weekend's or not. So we've got a really good seating capacity now. Lots of outside seating, plenty of parking, and you've got all the views over the marina as well. So, and the children's play area there is too, so it's just a super place to come. And, since we have extended it, which was only last summer, virtually straight away, the amount of custom we've taken has dramatically increased, so it's just expanded with the space almost straight away. So we're very pleased with the way it's all going at the moment.
You mentioned children a couple of times, so it must be a really, really safe environment because there's no busy road going through and going at great speed, and you're miles away from, well, not anywhere, but I mean you're miles away from any danger, aren't you?
That's right, yeah. The nearest mill lane is a very long lane, so we're well away from the main road and the traffic. We always promote the marina side of things as being a great marina to bring children and pets, because we've got fields around as well, plenty of activities with walking along the river, all very safe. And it's compared to a lot of marinas which can be just in the middle of towns or like such as Cowes, we're really in the country, so there's plenty for kids to do here.
How does it affect you in a couple of weeks time with the festival? Does that boost trade, or does it make it awkward for you for a weekend?
Well, it's a massive weekend for us. It's one of, well, definitely our biggest weekend of the year, and so we always really look forward to festival weekend. But the marina's going to be full. We've also got a lot of people camping on land adjacent to us, and we'll be taking camper vans too, so there'll be a lot of people around, and I'm sure it's going to be a great weekend, as it always is every year.
Yeah, I bet you still wish you would live down the lane, don't you, on festival weekend, don't you?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
You could stumble in. That was your brother, I believe, that used to have a caravan halfway up the lane, didn't
That's
he?
Right, yeah.
I remember kipping in there some nights, because it couldn't be bothered.
I think everybody did, yeah.
Yeah.
At one point or another.
Yeah. It was like Doctor Who Stardust. I remember going in there one night and thinking, it's only a little thing, but there's about, a dozen people all curled out asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when did you actually move out of the house?
I must have been about 18, I suppose, something like that. So, yeah, quite a while ago.
So, your family lived there for X amount of years?
Yeah, about 10 years. Because when it was originally a mill, a tidal mill,
yeah,
the pond, and there's pictures around of the original mill, which was big. It was huge, actually.
Yeah, I know it's built in 1790, and it was there for 175 years till 1950. My dad used to play in the ruins of the mill when he was a kid, because I think for about the last 10 years that it was there, it was just a derelict building, and I think there's a fire in 1945, which the walls are still there and a lot of the internal supports, but most of the rest of it had burned down. But my dad used to play on the old wooden joists when he was a kid. But massive mill, and with a lot of history in itself. During the Crimean War, there were German Hessian mercenaries who were fighting for us, billeted in the mills. And they were there for quite a number of years. And I remember one story towards the late 1790s. Unfortunately, an outbreak of typhoid swept through the mill, and 84 of these mercenary soldiers were killed by typhus. And they're buried in a mass grave at Whippingham Church. And there's a plaque on the wall in the church in their memory.
Oh, wow. Mm. You really know your history
Well, yeah, I've been looking into quite a lot of history. I do research on the internet what I can find and through papers and archives. I know the history of Island Harbour actually can be traced back to 1250 AD when it was first bought and owned by Quarre Abbey and the monks of Quarre Abbey. and so it stayed with the monks for a few hundred years until 1536, I believe it was, when Henry the Eighth dissolved the monasteries and it fell into government hands, and then eventually it just passed as a farm effectively down into private ownership, until the mill that Mark mentioned just now, East Medina Mill, was built in 1790. Another interesting part about the mill was its nickname, which was Botany Bay Mill. Its real name was East Medina Mill, but apparently it supplied ship's biscuits to the convict ships that are going down to Australia, and and because of that, and everybody knew it, everyone referred to it as Botany Bay Mill at the time. And the owner also built another mill on the other side of the river where the Vector Blades building is now, which was West Medina Mill, and that had a similar convict nickname, which was Port Jackson, and for the same reason all the ships were supplied there for their trips down to Australia.
Wow, you really know your stuff, don't you? How do you feel that you know, you've got a gentleman there that is part of the team that's building loads and loads of stuff on something that was, you know, your old playground, if you like. But obviously what's nice here is hearing all the respecting the past and building the new future.
Well, I think it's great. I mean, the only way that place was ever going to be really viable is with all these flats and houses and the Breeze and places like that. It was never going to be viable without residential development down there. My father realised that, you know, a long time ago. And there were several owners in the past who had come to grief down there, to be honest.
Fair enough, hasn't absolutely. Yeah.
And it all comes back to the fact they couldn't get planning permission. But now the rules have been relaxed. That, you know, it suddenly makes it viable, and I'm sure it's going to have a great future.
Yeah, Mark says.
I remember the day they first started building the marina. They blocked the entrance off with sheet piles to stop the water, you know, the tide coming in. They pumped it all out, and there was loads of fish. I remember looking over, there's loads of fish all flapping about on the bottom on the empty tidal pond. And all the workmen went home that day and had fish for dinner. And after that, it was at least a couple of years getting built. They had to dredge it. Thousands of cubic metres of mud came out. All got piled in the back, where, you know, on site, where you're building now, a lot of it. And I remember they used to just buy old lorries from whoever, ones that have failed their MOT and things like this, but you could still, you know, they would still work, and they used those to cart the mud about. And when they gave up the ghost, they just bulldozed them into the mud at the back. So I'm sure you'll come across some of those sometimes.
Keep an eye out for
them. All right, yeah. I always remember just going back to the time when your dad was part of the Geon building. So he designed the house, didn't he?
Yeah.
And just describe what the house was, you know, because it was...
It's an octagonal structure, first of all, but it was based on an endothermic heating system, which probably... a bit too complicated to go into now, but it was based on that endothermic heating system that basically the building helps heat itself. So the structure draws heat from the atmosphere through a heat pump, and basically uses heat from the atmosphere to heat itself. That's where it stems from.
And they built, and so we mentioned it just now about the Country Garden Hotel. They put one there, and I remember working with your brother Carl and his mate Sid. There was a guy called Sid.
That's right.
I don't even know whether Sid's still with us or not.
Yeah, he is.
Is he on the island?
No, he's on the mainland. But I know he's still about. He does pop up. I've seen him in the last year or so.
Oh, do you know what? I really like Sid. He was a good chap. Yeah.
And, he had a brother called Newton Anthony. His name was
Ian, wasn't it?
Ian Anthony.
Yeah.
And he had a brother called Newton Anthony, who I was in the same class as. Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. And so we spent the summer of 1982. Mm-hmm. Putting this house together, and then you know, the fitters went in and made it all glamorous and so on and so forth, and then it appeared on it would have been probably South Today or something like that. And I always remember there was your dad and a guy called Alistair Hunter.
Yeah, Alistair Hunter's still actually involved in the heating system, because my father passed away about 8 years ago now. Alistair Hunter's still involved in the heating system, the whole endothermic system, and it, their company's called Minus 7 now.
Right.
So if anybody wants to have a look on the on their website, they've got a really good website that explains it all. And I know he's still pushing it. Yeah,
I remember that when they did this this footage, they went in and filmed, and they were in the kitchen area, and they didn't have the water wasn't plumbed in at that moment. So they were this person was working for the, I think it was the BBC. They were sort of doing a piece to camera, and in the background was your dad and Alistair, and they had to go to the kitchen. They went to the sink to fill up a kettle for the water, and I remember them saying they had to make the noise of the water because the water wasn't plumbed in.
sounds about right. I mean, that place was built for my cousin Raymond Ridette, who owned the Country Garden Hotel at the time.
Yeah,
he's had several hotels and things in the most recently he had the White Hart at Haven Street, but he retired about a couple of years ago, but he's still on the island.
And that house is still there?
Yeah, still there.
Wow. Did somebody purchase it and live in it? Is it?
I don't know. Who lives in it now, to be honest, Ian? But it's still in the garden there. So,
wow. Yeah. I just have fond memories. And it's roughly around about May 82. So we're talking, what, 35?
Yeah, a long time ago. And it's become a bit of a landmark, your control tower, isn't it, though?
It is, definitely. Yeah, we would hate to lose it because it's such an iconic building, really. Mm. And, yeah, it's... I mean, it's perfect for what we need, really. It's got a great view over the river and the marina itself.
Yeah.
So it's just ideal for us.
Yeah. So is it an office now? Is it an office?
Well, we've got our office in there, but of course the controls for the lock are there as well. So it's whenever any boats need to come into the marina, they radio us up on the VHF radio, and then we'll be operating the lock control. So it's a combination of the two, our office space and the control centre of the lock.
I've looked at those controls, and they look. I'm sure they're the same ones from the 70s as well. I don't think they've changed much.
I think I've seen photographs of earlier ones, so they have changed. But I expect it's an identical design. So I think at one point in the past, I'm not sure when it was, but the whole lock gates were upgraded, and I think they upgraded the control system. But I would imagine it actually runs identically to the way it always did.
The lock gates are quite. Are different to normal lock gates, aren't they, where they slide in and out as opposed to swing. And I know they run on tank wheels, don't they, because I remember dropping one on my foot when I was a kid and I had a black toenail. I was rolling it along and it just rolled over, and oh dear, very painful. Must have been about 10 or 12.
Yeah. So one thing I wanted to say about the control tower and the design of the building, the sort of Geon design, is I remember seeing in the county press archives a planning application, I believe, I'm not quite sure what year it was, in the 80s I think it was, of instead of all the houses that are now on the island at the far end of the marina, there was an application that was put in for about five or six giant control towers, effectively, with about four or five apartments in each one. Do you know anything about that, Mark?
Yeah, I remember the drawings. Yeah.
So I would think it's a shame that it never actually went ahead, because, you know, it's
I'd have been a multi-millionaire now if it had, but unfortunately the planning department put pay to that.
Was that your dad, was it?
Yeah.
What would he say now, then? Because he'd be quite cross now, wouldn't he?
No, I think he'd be pleased to see it. He was pretty philosophical chap. I think he'd have been pleased to see how it's going now.
Yeah. I don't mean crossing the progress, but crossing the fact that, they'll give it to them, but they didn't give it to me.
Well, I think things would have been a lot different if it had, but it's just the way it is, isn't it? You know, Dad was always a bit ahead of his time, you know, with everything, really. And it's quite common, isn't it, with sort of inventors and people like that.
Progress. If we'd have had it back then, I mean, Lord knows what would be down there now. But obviously, here we are. What plans have you got now? I know it's getting bigger every year. What other big ideas have you got coming?
Well, the next plans, really, I think, is once all the apartments are completed, we know that the restaurant isn't going to be big enough, even though we've expanded it and upgraded it massively. It won't be able to cope with the additional people that will be there once all the apartments are filled. So we're planning a second restaurant, if you like, although it will be a tapas bar, and so it won't be as big by any means as the current one, but it will run alongside and will help fill the need. And I think one of the things that I'm sort of excited about it is it will have, as I understand, rooftop seating. So, you know, on a summer's evening, you'll have a lovely view over the River Medina while you're having a little drink. And
wow.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
My biggest regret about the whole thing is that I lost George Best's autograph when the marina was opened and the Rye Queen was, and the marina was opened, and we had Miss Great Britain came down and opened it for us. What was her name? Don't you know her name?
Yeah, Carolyn Moore.
Carolyn Moore. That's it. And she stayed the weekend in the house with us, and she was going out with George Best at the time. And we were only kids, and we said to her, we had lots of photographs taken with her and that. And I remember thinking, oh, she spends a lot of time in the bathroom in the mornings doing herself up. Anyway, because before the days of en suites. And she was going out with George Best at the time. And I said to her, any chance of, you know, getting George Best autographed for us? And a couple of weeks later, we didn't think any more of it, really. She said, yeah, that'd be fine. Anyway, a couple of weeks later, his autograph came to the post, you know, to Mark and Carl, all the best, George Best. Oh, can I find it? Lost it.
Wow, that would have been worth quite a few quid now.
Probably would, yeah.
Oh, crikey. There must have been some big names come down. I never met anybody, because I was only there for about 4 or 5 years, but I mean, I would imagine when the first one was in its real heyday.
They filmed St Trinian's, a part of a St Trinian's film on there.
Yeah.
I was watching it a few weeks ago, actually. It was on television. And it's not a whole lot, obviously, but just a section of it. I remember that, them all coming down for that. And I remember quite vividly as well that in the Medway Queen days when the veterans used to come down and cry all over the decks, the ones who'd been saved by the Medway Queen, you know, thinking about their comrades who died, and that used to happen every year until they gradually obviously all died out. But and the Mayor of Dunkirk used to come down quite a bit. Me and my brother stayed with the Mayor of Dunkirk for 6 weeks because of the link with the Medway, and they say she was a famous ship. And she had a year's waiting list for membership when she was open. And, of course, it was before the gambling laws as well. You could do gambling on their Joker 7 tables and things like this. And Darren had a bit of that at the anniversary, didn't you?
Yeah, last year it was the 50th anniversary of the opening of the marina last year. So we had a celebration of that. A lot of the people associated with marina over the years came along and just to share memories and photographs, and we did have a little Joker 7 session. Mm. I had to Google the rules for it, but it's quite an interesting game. But there's so many games like that have died out now, I suppose, because of the gambling laws have changed, etc.
And you managed to find the trio that used to play on the Medway Queen, didn't you?
Yes, that was great, actually. That was fantastic.
Dougie Watson and all the others.
Yeah.
And they're all still alive and...
Yeah,
they did a good set, didn't they?
They did. It was really good to hear it. Yeah.
Wow. I know that Julianas used to run the nightclub side of things, the disco side of things.
They did for a while, yeah.
And then they came in and stripped all their stuff out, and
that's,
I think,
it.
Mr. Webb was not paid his bill or something.
Probably,
so they came in and stripped everything out, and then they had to get mobile DJs with gear in there. Yeah. So I remember going in there myself one night. And
I remember Steve Morris doing a bit down there for a while. Mr. Bojangles, didn't he? He was down there for a while.
Yeah, and
Dave Cannon, obviously.
Dave Cannon was probably the one that people remember most because he was down there probably the longest, and he's still going strong, isn't he? About 120.
Yeah, and he still
now,
does these Ride Queen dues, doesn't
does he?
And he's got some really good photos and that, and some footage. But I asked for a copy for them once, but he wouldn't let me have them. I think he thinks they're, you know, worth too much money, and they probably are, to be honest, because I think he's probably got the best collection of photos on board the ship. Anyway,
I've heard that.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And I've heard he's tight with it as well.
He won't.
And the guys at the door, they always used to wear the white shirts with the things on their.
That's right.
Like you were on a proper ship.
Quentin Reynolds, I don't know if you remember Quentin, dear.
Name rings a bell.
He was he managed it for quite a while, and he used to have all the stripes on, the captain type stripes, and they're very smart in their days. Yeah.
So it just brings back some lovely memories, some really, really good memories. It's just bringing it up to date. Because we walk along the riverbank now, and we come, you know, obviously that's a nice walk now because the council have done. Have you got something from that? Has that, you know, improved ways people can get to and so on?
Absolutely, yes. It was a big help for us. And in fact, you know, we contributed to it in that. On our land, you know, we paid and did the part of the cycle track that's on our land, and we're happy to do so because it has helped us a great deal. We get, you know, a lot of people walking along the river now that will just pop into a restaurant or just have a walk around the site, and it's just great for that to happen. And we're really hopeful that they'll extend it up to the Folly at some point as well. And I think the original intention was to do that, and so I hope that happens at some point.
Okay, look, what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to chat some more. Stay tuned.
This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people. Stay social and get in touch. It's at Vectis Radio on Twitter. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
Here we are, then. Welcome back. Part two. We have from Island Harbour, we have Darren Cook, and ex-Island Harbour, but now he wants to talk about what he's up to now. We have Mark Redden. But before we do that, we just talk about your brother, Adam, who we used to know. He used to have the little caravan halfway up the lane, and everyone used to doss there after, you know, everyone being kicked out of the Rye Queen. I was remembering, there's a nice story here, because I was remembering him going off with a, he was only about sort of 21-ish, and he met this lady that was a little bit older than him, and everyone said it wouldn't last, and it has, and they're still together all those years.
Yeah, they actually had their winning reception on the Rye Queen, so yeah, they're still together now, yeah.
So
four kids later.
Does he do that romantic thing where they say, let's go back where we got married?
Not recently, I don't
Can
think.
Can you fix that up for us, Darren?
Yeah, I'm sure. Well,
it's a bit dangerous now.
So come on, tell us what you're up to now, Mark.
No, well, I got made redundant in 2010, so I thought, well, what am I going to do now? So I read an article, sat in a pub, funnily enough, about micropubs, and so I thought, well, I went back to Debbie and my wife and said, we can perhaps give that a go. So then we opened the Newport Ale House and Cow's Ale House, and that's been 6 years now, 4 years. Ticking along nicely. We've gone back to the old days, how pubs used to be. And we think how they should be, and you know, not food led, but drink led.
And I noticed did you win an award or nominated?
This year we won quite a few awards with camera, but this year we came third and sixth in best pubs on the island. So that's really great, and thanks to all the people who support us.
What about having one of these pubs down on Island Harbour then?
Well, that would be great. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm a big real ale fan.
There you go.
I've had a few pints myself in the breeze. It's a great place, you know. And obviously very food-led.
Yeah, I mean, we are.
He didn't mean it, Darren.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's a place for all of us.
Absolutely. So you might see one of your pop-up pubs down at Island Harbour then?
I'll have a chat with Darren.
Come on, it's an idea. Take it. But you say, whereabouts are you in Newport?
In Holyrood Street in Newport, and Shooter's Hill and Cows.
Shooter's Hill, yeah.
Opposite the coast.
Yeah. I don't ever go into Cows for some reason. I don't go very far.
No.
So let's talk about the future. What stuff have you got coming up for us? And one thing I was going to ask is, obviously, the places are being built at the moment. So does that mean they're being sold, or are they already sold already?
Right, well, they're all being rented, in fact. So we're not selling them.
Housing Association?
They're just for rent, and we're going to do a mixture of long-term rent and short-term rent.
Right, perfect.
So at the moment, we're concentrating on long-term. Sort of 12-month leases, but I think the later ones will be for short terms or holiday lets, and so it's a plan. I think what might have been an initial plan to sell some, but they decided they'd rather keep them all in house and rent them. Yeah, so
okay.
It's more of a long term income stream than just a one-off kind of deal, really.
So what else have you got down there? What else are you going to get down? Because obviously the more people you have down there, the more things you're going to need.
There are plans for more parking, for one thing. You know, we've got a lot of parking already, but we know we're going to need more. And there'll be some industrial units built for the marine industry. But I think private... And, also, I believe that they're going to be building the swimming pool and health spa, and more things for people to do and to try and encourage more people down to see us.
And a pop-up pub. I'm not letting him go. I just see him down there, you know, in his little pop-up pub.
Because, you know, didn't I see something about an open-air cinema there as well or something? Is that still going to go ahead?
Not really. I mean, we did buy... we did think about doing a big screen ourselves, just as a form of entertainment for the children when their parents are drinking in the pub. You know, we've still got that on the back burner, I think. So, but, you know, it wouldn't be a cinema as such. It's just an entertainment, another entertainment thing for the children.
But it'd be so unique, wouldn't it? Mm. I mean, that's the whole place, the whole thing is unique, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things we do want to do is try and make it a place that everyone will want to come to, really. So it's always been traditionally a marina. The restaurant now, luckily, is becoming more and more used by people on the island, aside from marina people, which is something we're really, really pleased about. But, you know, we want to keep coming up with ideas of how to bring more and more people down to Island Harbour to make it a place where everyone will want to come to. So it's no longer just a marina.
People like being by the water, don't they?
They do, yeah.
You know, people really love to be by the water and sit by it and eat by it and drink by it.
Yeah, it's just such a great view, and, you know, on a nice sunny afternoon, and what a better place than there can be to really just have a relaxing pint and something to eat.
Well, you say you've got a boat down there.
My boat was out the water for 3 months, and I spent quite a bit of time in the breeze, you know, just for lunch and things, obviously. And so I've been down there a fair bit recently, but she's back at East Cowes Marina now.
Okay. So what sort of boat? Because we talked about Alistair Hunter a little while ago.
Yeah, he's got a boat down at the Island Harbour, hasn't he?
I think he has. Yeah.
It's his is out the water at the moment. His is a steel one. Mine's an old wooden one.
Because he was obviously a designer with Ian Ward, my old ex-boss.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, and he was the designer, and Ian used to build them. And yeah. They built a number of boats, and every time I walk along the river here, where the old building used to be,
yeah, where Jubilee Stores is,
there was a boat built there, and we built this blooming thing, and it was up to the roof.
That's right.
Do you remember they had to take the roof off?
Yeah, we took the roof off. Yeah, that's
right. I kept saying to, you know, Ian Ward, who was building it, why are we building up to the roof? We're not going. How are we going to get out of that little door?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Alistair's still got his boat. Is one of his own designs. He's still got it.
What has he got?
And it's one of his own designs that they were building.
Because he had a 23-foot Unk.
This is about 40-foot, I think, this one of Alistair's. Yeah.
And I think he had something like a 35-foot Unk, and they were all same design but different sizes.
That's right, yeah. His is about 40-foot.
We built one for, Tom Vernon, Richard Vernon, old actor, was in a Beatles film years ago. Built one for his son, and there was a 23-footer, and he took it across the world and sunk it. It's a lovely story. Want to come sailing? No, not with you. So how long have you been involved down there?
Since 2010. And not really from a boating background, but it was just a chance thing, really. I when I left my previous job, didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I joined an employment agency just for some temporary work. I thought it would be interesting to sort of spend a few weeks at lots of different businesses and find out what they did and just maybe come up with a plan of what I'd like to do for the future. But the very first place this agency sent me to was Island Harbour, and I've been there ever since, 7 years now.
Much more fun than your previous job there, Darren.
Definitely,
I'm
yes.
I'm glad you brought it up, because I was just going to... He's kept it quiet, isn't he?
I try not to mention that too much anymore, yeah.
It's a bit of a leap, isn't it?
Yeah, I used to work in the civil service, both for the Department of Social Security and the tax office, HM Revenue and Customs, along with many people, when the offices in Newport were closed... we were given choices, and we could have transferred to the mainland offices, but that wasn't for me, so I just decided that was a good time to leave.
At least your VAT returns will be accurate, I suppose, Darren.
Hopefully. I never got involved in VAT personally, but I know obviously how it all works, I've never regretted leaving. It's just a beautiful place to work down at Island Harbour now. You know, when I sort of look out the windows from the control tower,
yeah, that's great, yeah.
And you've got the views down the river on the calm day, hopefully.
So I'm just seeing you with a pen and pushing a pen around all day, and all of a sudden you're down there at the harbour. What I mean, are you hands on? Do you know? Somebody says, "Oh, the locks need doing." Do you know?
I don't get involved in the maintenance so much, though I have done to a small degree in the past. But I mean, I got my chance there originally because of my financial background, and I was really brought in originally just to do some of the finances down there. But of course, you're in the control tower, the radio's going, there's customers coming in, and so you get involved in all of that, and bit by bit you pick it up. And although I'd never really been on a boat in my life before, all of a sudden you're on the lock helping boats through the lock, and you pick it up really pretty much.
How lucky is that to go from something like that to, you know, and enjoy it? Because you make it sound like it's not a job. You make it sound like you're having the time of your life.
Yeah, it's long hours. Obviously, we're very customer focused. You know, it's essentially the tourist industry. So weekends we're very busy, and we're open between 8 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night, so I'm not working all those hours, of course, but the hours, just the time flies and the hours just seem to stretch. But you know, to a large degree it is just a joy, really, because where you're working with customers, as Mark was in his business with Newport Ale House, I'm sure, you know, time just flies, and you just forget you're at work a lot of the time.
Yeah, I always say the day it becomes work, that's the day I'll give it up. You know, it's great fun. It's a hobby, really.
Well, you don't. I mean, I know you're a little bit older than I am, but I mean, you don't look it. You've done really well. What's the secret then?
Easy life. I've had an easy life.
Is it?
No, not at all. Not at
work.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That is the secret. Yeah. So and Darren told me earlier that he enjoys it so much that he'd do it for nothing. So if his boss is listening.
No. he's starting to be a little bit worried now. that perfect job of yours.
I do it for nothing, but my wife wouldn't let me do it for nothing. I think is the answer.
Voluntary work from now on. Have you met Darren from Rutland Harbour? Just voluntary work. So how long do you reckon you're going to? This is job for life. This is,
I would say, for
project
sure.
Project for life.
Absolutely. I'm very happy. I've got no wishes to leave at all, and I'm, you know, I'm sure. I just love it down there. I've got no regrets at all about leaving my former job, and I'm just really pleased the way that everything's worked out. And it purely by chance, I would never have under any other circumstances managed to make the transition from one to the other, I'm sure, but just sometimes life just
right place, right time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How long is it a work in progress for, you know, have you got ideas that take you up to, you know, in 5 years time, you know, when is it finished, when is it complete?
I think it's going to be a couple of years before it's fully finished. But you know, there's a lot of still a lot more to go. New apartments will take some time to complete. We've got the tapas bar to build, the marine units, and the road junction is going to be altered as well with Furley Road, because you know, that's all part and parcel of more premises down there and more people. Making sure that the road's junction's better. So all these things are going to take time, so it's going to be a couple of years yet before it's all.
But then when it's completed, you're going to get something else. You're going to think, oh, we put something else in now, aren't you? Surely.
Well, who knows?
It's always going to be a work in progress, as it should be, really.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it will. You know, there's still other land there, I think, that isn't earmarked for anything, in that, you know, we've got there's a lake towards the back of the marina. Sorry, the marina premises anyway, where, you know, we could put some walkways in around there and just make use of that land as well. So, I'm sure there's plenty to be going on with. But, you know, it's a joy, really, just to work in the marina offices and you know, with the restaurant there. I mean, that's going to be an ongoing thing that's going to be there forever and a day.
We mentioned earlier there's a way to walk there along the riverfront. You can obviously drive there now, and there is a lovely restaurant there. Go down and see it, because if you haven't been down there for a long time, you are going to go down there and go, oh wow, this has all changed. This is incredible. So my advice is to definitely go down there. One of the funniest, I've got a funny memory I want to share with you. You must have loads, but we mentioned Ginge Knight earlier on, and you sort of said that he drinks now in the Prince of Wales.
Prince of Wales and his cows. Yeah,
so if you want to get your own back on Ginge, he drinks in there on what night?
Every night.
Every night, all right. I just remember going in on Christmas Eve, when Christmas Eve was busy. Christmas Eve used to be like one of the, you know, the main nights, And I remember going in there, and these two lads were in the toilet, and one of them had thumped the other one, and, Ginge went in there, broke it up, and, it turned out this guy had his nose broken. Anyway, he chucked them both out, and then a week later, New Year's Eve, the other bloke followed the one that had his nose broken. He followed the other guy into the loo and smacked him in the nose. And Ginge went in there to sort of sort them out. And he said, "What's going on here?" Then, "Oh," he said, "he broke my nose last week, and I came in and I broke his nose this week." And Ginge just threw the pair out and just said, "You had that coming, Nipper, didn't you, from last week?" And I've never forgotten that story. That's one of the funniest memories.
I remember one New Year's Eve when I don't know if you remember this, but everybody was jumping up and down to a song where it was, you know, sort of one where you jump to, and everybody went through the floor down below, and half of them ended up in the bilges nearly. That was brilliant night.
Because they used to have they had lights in the floor, didn't they? Starting upstairs and downstairs.
I mean,
well,
looking back, you know, down in, especially in the downstairs bar, if there'd ever been a fire, God knows. I mean, everybody would have got out. Not really, no.
Hey, look, we've run out of time, but it's really good to see you, Mark, and I'm glad things are going well in the pub as well.
Yeah.
And so give my regards to the rest of the family as well.
Yeah, will do. Thanks, Ian. Yeah,
and,
nice
and Darren, you know, I think, you know, what an amazing story. There you were, bored at your tiny mind doing figures and facts and writing things down for the tax man, and there you are, like, you know, you do it, dream job now, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's just karma, I guess, really. There's always things out there, really, and you probably don't, a lot of people don't realise that. A lot of the time you can sort of just get stuck in your routine. I never really thought I'd ever leave the civil service, even when they were shutting down the offices, and I knew that they were going to do that. I kind of always envisaged that I would actually transfer to the mainland and stay in the civil service, but then
hope you're still going to get your pension though, Darren.
Well, a bit of it, yeah, until they change the rules, as they keep doing. But yeah,
you should be able to retire about 75.
That's the only reason people work for the civil service.
Yeah, their gold-plated pension. Yeah. But yeah.
Hey, look, gentlemen, we've run out of time, but thank you very much for being great guests today. That's Darren Cook and Mark Redette. Bless you both. www.factisradio.com.